Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. As we today have Trinity Sunday, as we've just completed the great season of Easter, today we sit perched at a high point, halfway, so to speak, of the church year has been done, half to remain. As with any journey, when you reach a high point or even halfway point, it might be good to look back on where you've been and look forward to where you're going. So we look back to the beginning of Advent, when we were taught by the Holy Spirit through the Holy Word of our God, of our God's effort to save His people, how for 4,000 years or so from the creation of all things, the people of God waited on God to fulfill His promise of sending a Savior. We celebrated Christmas, that the Son of God, the second person of the triune God, became man and was born of the Virgin Mary. That the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ makes earthly life very different, even more sacred. For our God, the eternal, omnipotent, all-knowing God, has taken on the same flesh and blood that we have. Not only then does what go on in the body testify to our creation by God, but also to our God, who became flesh and dwelt among us. That God came to earth to save us, because we could not save ourselves. That we hear from the Gloria, from the angels, as they announce the good news of great joy that will be for all the people, a Savior, is Christ the Lord. The Epiphany season taught us that the baby of Bethlehem was no mere man, that God revealed Himself in that flesh and blood, having assumed it into Himself for eternity. With many proofs, our Lord Jesus Christ showed Himself to be both true God and true man. We prepared for Lent, hearing about the grace of our Lord in saving us. And we went through Lent itself, observing the battle between Christ and the fallen ones, the forces of evil, fighting for our sake, to gain victory for us, that we would be His own. Culminating, of course, in the giving of His body and the shedding of His blood at Calvary on Good Friday, the very day after He instituted His supper, where we are fed and nourished by the same body and blood of Jesus. We see that great crest of Easter morning, the risen Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, declared innocent, who could not be held by death, but by His death has conquered death, and by His resurrection showed unto us that the Father is indeed pleased with the Son, that He was raised by the Father for our justification. And He made sure then to prepare His church to proclaim the good news of great joy, of salvation completed for all people. That the Father had sent the Son into the flesh, and the Son won the salvation of the world by His sacrifice, and yet even more victory over death belongs to the Lamb of God who was slain. To truly expand His work through the proclamation of that Word, the Son then taught that the Holy Spirit would be sent by the Father and the Son, and that He would bring us this news, this great news of peace, this wonderful news of salvation. That He would work through His chosen means to create faith in Jesus, faith in the Son, in order that by believing in the Son, we would have eternal life. That is where we have been. So as we consider the past of what our God has done, we must consider who we are. That our past does define us a bit. But as Christians especially, we know that God's Word defines us even better. that the lessons today remind us of who we are as sinners, men of unclean lips who dwell in a land of people of unclean lips, idolaters, those who do not fear, love, and trust in the triune God above all things. We have not rightly known God, nor could we have trusted as we should. That this is, as Jesus teaches even in our gospel lesson today, that there is something wrong in the first birth that we have on this earth. That sin has corrupted us. That sin bars the way to God. That sin stops us from rightly knowing Him or even to properly trust in Him. It makes us spiritually blind and dead. That original sin, the corruption of our nature, makes us dead to God and even opposed to Him. That those who we have heard who opposed Christ, the Pharisees and everything else, those who sought His ruin and His death, that's the sinful nature that we know so well. That this is why Jesus, the Son of the Father, says that with only that first birth, a person cannot see or enter the kingdom of God. That the first birth is into that sin of Adam, into the death of Adam. It is to have minds that cannot begin to fathom the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. It is to be turned against the God who created, redeemed, and yes, wants to sanctify us. That this is where Nicodemus was, wondering silly questions about how this new birth might happen, not understanding the teaching of Jesus about the work of God that is required for a person to be saved. This is why men have failed to find the true God in their mind, by their emotions, or even by their work. That there is indeed a whole new, different other birth needed. That's what Jesus teaches. And birth is the perfect word here. Because none of you, absolutely no one of you in here, had anything to do with your earthly birth. That Jesus is teaching the same thing about the second birth, a heavenly birth, that birth which comes from above. That this is the birth which makes one to believe in Jesus, which makes a person to be able to see and be a part of the kingdom of God, that is the rule of God, the triune God. That this is what Jesus promised the Spirit would do by the water with the Word. That John 3 may not say the word baptism, but you would have to be willfully ignorant and stubbornly opposed to the witness of Holy Scripture to not hear about being born again of water and the Spirit and think about anything other than baptism. And worse yet, to hear about such rebirth of having to be born again, this birth from above, and then ascribe it or think that it means something about the work of man. But Nicodemus was this way. Trapped in his first birth, not understanding the revelation of what God was teaching right there in front of him. But as with him, we hold out hope. Because Nicodemus eventually came to believe in Jesus, even though we see in him that blindness of the first birth in handling the things of the second. So who are you? God's word clearly says that by birth you are a sinner. You are an idolater. But yet God's word also says if you have been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, that is to say you have been born again, this time from above, by water and the Spirit, that you are much more than just a sinner. That you have the true God as your God. That you have seen and indeed you are in the kingdom of God. That Jesus is your benevolent ruler who has proven to look after you, to take care of you, And the Spirit has made it so. That the Father is pleased with you because the Father is pleased with the Son, and you possess the Spirit of our God, that you would continue to be a disciple of the Son. And that is who you are, and that is who you should be, by God's grace. Full of trust in the God who created you, full of trust in the God who has redeemed you, full of trust in the God who has sanctified you and made you his own temple, loving that triune God, glorifying in his unsearchable ways, and loving those around you as he's willed you to do. That this is the glory of God's work through the Word and the Spirit, that is the Word and the water and the Spirit of holy baptism. This is why almost every single occurrence of teaching of baptism in the Scriptures is found among the context of revealing something about the Trinity. This is why, then, as a Christian, you would want this second birth of water and the Spirit for anyone you know, and even those you don't. That ultimately, why would you not want someone to be born again by water and the Spirit? To be given all the gifts that you know came to you in baptism. And the only answer is unbelief. Whether by not trusting in God or by not believing what his word so plainly says, for the teaching of the Scriptures is that the triune God is active in that water to bestow the salvation that the Son of God has won for each person. That in that water the Father is ready to pronounce how pleased he is. In that water, the Spirit is ready to bring new life, Christian life, by creating faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins. But no, God wants to work, and God wants to welcome sinners into the kingdom of God. That's why he has done all that we have heard in this past half church year. That's why we continue to learn it over and over again. That's why the word and the teaching have been preserved so that it might enter your ears even today. That Christ has been lifted up. Christ has been crucified that you would have a new life, a second birth, and that by believing in him, that new life would not just be here and now, but it would be eternal. That what the Father gave the Son to do in the greatest expression of God's love for us, the only begotten Son of the Father has done. That it's finished. Not by being placed into the air as a bronze serpent, but no, the Son of God and true man, bleeding and dying for the sins of the world, that no one would perish. But that by believing, have the gracious gift of the forgiveness of sins, and thus have eternal life. And that God, the Holy Spirit, is the very one who makes you to believe and to confess this. So halfway through the year, that is what we have covered. What is yet to come? What awaits us in the Trinity season? As Christ's baptized disciples, as children of the Father, having the righteousness of the Son and possessing the Spirit, who know and trust in the work of God for our salvation. Well, to the baptized it has been commanded that there be teaching done. And we are going in into the season of Trinity to sit beneath the Spirit's word, as he inspired it to be, as Christ promised it would be, as we sit as Christians at the feet of our Lord and his teaching for his own in this life. That the second half of the church here is about catechesis, instruction. Parables will be taught just as they were long ago and explained to Christ's disciples. Narratives of our Lord's life will be retold, and the same Spirit who brought them to the remembrance of those men of God who wrote them down will use those very life-giving words to create clean hearts in us, drawing us unto God by repentance and faith, making it so that the whole triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, come to dwell with us. We know who we are by that first birth. But we also know, it has been shown to us by God Himself, who we are by the second birth. We know the God who has done this work for our salvation. It is to Him, then, that we would devote ourselves and our whole being. For the God who has revealed Himself as the Trinity has demonstrated such loving care that there is no one else who can compare to Him. That from Him, through Him, and to Him are all things. Thus to Him be glory forever. Amen. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen.